So, gentlemen, you're a retailer, Sentil,
yes.
Based in,
Chennai.
In Chennai. And Saikat, you're a retailer based where? In which part
based
of
India? In Calcutta.
In Calcutta. So, new parts of India that we haven't talked about so much today. And I would like to explore with you both first, if I may, the reception of your customers to new products, how they respond to new products, because generally speaking, customers, well, shoppers all over the world are strange people at the end of the day. You expect them to behave in a certain way, and they sometimes behave in completely the opposite way. You expect them not to behave in that way, and they behave in the way that you expect. And these are some of the things that I'm sure apply to my country where I live in the UK as much as they do to your country, India, as much as they do to customers in Chennai or shoppers in Calcutta. We've seen and we've heard about this from all of our speakers, the growth of the market here in India over the last several years, which is great news for local producers here in India who are supplying more, and great news also for exporters of products to your country. When you look at the products like citrus, which is very well known in this country, avocados, which are becoming more known in this country, and you think of the kind of shoppers that come through your supermarkets on a day-to-day basis, how do they respond to new products? Does it take them a long time to try them, or do they go for them right away? Sentil, come to you first.
Traditionally, if I want to answer, the Indian consumer is used to eating Indian fruits. You know, if you take an Indian orange, which is basically like a mandarin, easy peel orange, and when you take an Egyptian citrus, it's something, it's better tasted if you can cut into halves and quarters and then squeeze it out. You know, that's a better way of eating an Egyptian citrus. So to try out a new product, Indian consumer takes time. And more than the time that is required, I can say that Indian consumer tries out a new product if he is educated about the product, if he is taught how to eat the product. And for that to happen, more than the Indian consumer, I would say here, the key part of the entire thing here is the Indian salesman in the retail counters. I would say in the entire chain, he is the person who has to be first convinced to ensure that any product, whether it is kiwi, whether it is Egyptian citrus, whether they are now looking at avocados, the key person is the Indian sales guy who has to be convinced that this is a product, and he has to know how the product has to be eaten and how it is better cooked, if it has to be cooked, if there's a recipe to try with it, how it has to be better tried. So once he is convinced, he is there to convince 1,000 consumers visiting you every day. So you take a product like a kiwi, initially it started in India. They brought in a container a few years back, and they suffered to sell one single container in whole of India. Now India brings in something like 400 to 500 containers of kiwis, and we ourselves as a retailer with the 40 to 50 stores are able to sell a full container of kiwi in a couple of weeks. So,
but I'm interested to then explore when does that kind of tipping point come? You've got one container that you can't sell, and then you're selling 250 containers within a few years. How does that happen? Saikat, let's come to you. How does that happen?
I think I largely agree with what Sentil was just mentioning, that regarding Indian shoppers, though, as shoppers, they buy a lot of food, they try a lot of food. And if you see that way, there are a lot of trials have started on food. Recently, on televisions, there are at least 20 odd, cooking channels, the channels which are, regularly showing programs, new way of cooking, recipes, curry across the world. And Indian shoppers are slowly, slowly getting more and more knowledgeable about the products, what being used as ingredient or to be consumed fresh or direct and things like that. But having said this also, India as a country is very, very different in terms of the way the shoppers behave in north and south and east and west.
Of course.
It's very fragmented, very different. So if you look it from that point of angle that, okay, let's judge an Indian shopper, an Indian middle class, or Indian upper middle class, you cannot actually judge it that way. Acceptance of a product is very different from one part to another part of the country.
That's very true of every region, of every country in the world. It's true of a country that could fit my country, that could fit many times into India. So small is Britain compared to the size of India. But there are very many different kind of regional variations in what shoppers want and how they behave and so on. But we've got, inevitably, to talk about generalities here, because that's just the nature of the game, I'm afraid. And when we look at the Indian consumer and we try and generalize if we can, it sounds to me that they're actually quite, they're skeptical, like every shopper should be, but they're actually quite quick to move from skepticism to acceptance. It doesn't take that long to shift people. And if we can see, you know, from Mahmoud's figures, you know, from what was it, 5 to 29,000 tons in 3-4 years. 26,000 tons in 3 or 4 years. That's a really significant increase, and even my bad maths tells me that that's a several 100% increase over that that short period of time. Now, it can't all be down to the fact that you know, in Europe we're too demanding and it's easier to sell to India. You've got to sell to India and actually make sure. I mean, people have got to buy this fruit. They've got to eat this fruit. And from your point of view, Mahmoud, when you observe the market, are you doing, how should I say, is it a question, as Senthil has said, that you've got to try, your first barrier to entry, in a way, is the buyer, who's got to be convinced that your products are worth buying. It's a new orange, it tastes differently, it's a different color, it's from a different source, or do you see things differently?
For me, an orange is an orange, you know, it's an orange. It's a question of price. I'm sure the Egyptian oranges are much more competitive than oranges coming from the US or from Australia. So it's an attractive thing to import. It's a very big market, and the quality is not bad in general. So this is why there's a chance for this.
But the other day, for example, I went to see an importer, and they had some sweet lime. And sweet lime is kind of an orange, but it isn't an orange. It's, you know, and I was promised that, look, you know, we'll cut it and you'll taste it and you'll think, this is good. And I had to summon up all my diplomatic skills as an Englishman to say, yes, it's a very nice product. But I had to spit out I don't know how many seeds. And actually, when it comes down to it, the taste for my palate was nothing special. Now, I can imagine if an Indian consumer is used to a sweet lime and enjoys a sweet lime, the prospect of then eating a navel or a Valencia from Egypt, it's a substantially different product, although it exists within that category. And as you said, an orange is an orange is an orange is an orange. I challenge you to tell me that a sweet lime is an orange in the same way that your oranges are oranges. So it's introducing a new product in that category. And for you as retailers, you've only got, you know, a certain amount of shelf space. You've got to make sure that you're getting yield per square foot in your stores, and you've got to show that you're shoppers are happy with what they buy. How does it? When do you get to that point that you say, okay, we've got this product in store, we're now going to stock Mahmoud's oranges? Is it about this buyer who remains convinced because it's the price aspect, or is he tasting the product and saying, this is good, and I know my shoppers, and they're going to buy it as a result? Senthil?
Yeah, there are two ways of looking at it. If you're looking at a new product, say kiwi, you know, earlier we were very, very hesitant to give shelf space because, like you, you know, there is no turnaround. You keep 30 kiwis and you sell 2 or 3 kiwis in a day. There is no initiative to sell kiwis. But then there is another way of looking at it. You know, recently, you know, I had a survey from Jespri. They said, you know, of whole of India, 2% of the people have actually tasted a kiwi. Only 35% of people, when you show a kiwi, they know what a kiwi is. And look at the market already. It's like 500 containers are coming in. So, you know, it's not about not having a product in your shelf. It's about you being convinced that this is a product that is worthwhile. And like Sumit was earlier mentioning, the Indian consumer is very health conscious today. You know, he wants to eat a fruit that is very healthy. Having said that, avocado is one of the most complete fruits too. So kiwi as such started moving because people felt it's one of the most healthiest fruits that's available. And as retailers, we had the responsibility to ensure that we give the shelf space. So, again, having said all this, I have to mention a small point here. You know, the Indian retail, the modern retail is all driven by numbers. You know, everybody is looking at profits at the end of the day. If you are looking at profits only, you know, it puts it's a big challenge to try anything new. You know, if you are looking at just profits, you are wanting to try the traditional fruits and ensuring that there are no wastages and there is better turnaround in the shelf space. But as retailers, I think we have to also look at increasing the basket value, putting more varieties into the consumer's basket. So if it is a responsible retailer, then we have to see the give credit to the product, see how it is doing well worldwide, and then give it the shelf space, and then hope the consumer is educated enough, the salesmen are educated enough, and he is trying it, and he is liking it. So ultimately, we have to leave the choice to the consumers. End of the day, after all this, the consumer doesn't want to pick it, nothing happens. So, but you have to give it a honest try, and if the world over a fruit is moving, say avocado is now accepted world over. So I firmly believe if they do all the right things, they have lots of challenges to face. But if they do all the right things, one day it will move like kiwis. Okay. They will sell, at least kiwi is completely new. For India, avocado is not completely new. I have seen avocados when I was very young. It's called a butterfruit in India. It's not the same variety, he said, like Haas. It's a different variety, but I've tasted butterfruit juice. I've tasted butterfruit, but it, since the lack of availability, it didn't move much in India. But, if they are persistent, do the right things, get the retailers to think, make them give shelf space, definitely, the new products are bound to move better.
I'll come to Tony in a minute, but I'd like to, Keith Sunderlal, you wanted to make a point there. Can we get a microphone to Keith? Where's our microphone man gone? Jonathan?
Hi, I'm Keith Sunderlal from SCS Group. Mahmood, I loved your comment, an orange is an orange, but you need to understand India. In India, we frequently misname what we eat. An orange is a mandarin. We don't know what an orange is. If you show people an orange, they will not call it an orange. They will call it anything but an orange, because an orange is a mandarin. So in India, the challenge that has been something that we have also faced is teaching people how to eat it. The reason, obviously, for the success is availability, good product, good taste. I think, in general, people like the taste, but people don't know how to eat it at home still. It has grown because it's adapted very well to the juicing market, and the times when it came in the best is when there was a shortage of domestic product available for juicing. So the market opportunity is there, it's immense, but people need to work at teaching people how to eat it at home, because the home consumption is still relatively low.
With respect, Keith, I mean, Indians are clever people, and an orange isn't terribly difficult to understand. What is it that you have to do?
We used to easy peel, whereas this you have to slice off the top, peel it. It's not something people know how to do. They're not used to it.
Yes.
So it's never something that we have done. Yeah. Because what you talk of sweet lime is not eaten like that. It's generally used for a juicing purpose.
I see.
So anything which is tight skin has generally been a juicing product, not orange or what we call santra to bring home and eat.
Yes.
Generally sweet. It's generally a juicing product.
So this issue about promotion is crucial.
Some awareness generations for people to know what it is.
Consumer education.
That you can actually. So whenever I've, when we do the promotion work for Sunkist, we have given people peelers. We give them this idea of scoring it and slicing off the top in our POP material. So people do get the idea and then they do like it. Because especially not having seed inside is an incredible advantage. That's people really enjoy that. And in general, the sweetness level, it tends to be a sweeter, because again, he brought up a good point that we as Indians are used to eating certain fruit. You have a perception. So, for example, my wife, she's has a very low tolerance for anything sour. So she's never eaten citrus in her life. For that simple reason, because there's always some kind of a tanginess to it. Because if the moment she eats it, she used to get a sore throat.
Yes.
But she eats, Sunkist and, the Egyptian citrus all the time. Because it's purely sweet. It doesn't have that tanginess.
Before you sit down, I want to raise this question about, we talked a little bit about health and the association of fruit with health. And in the work that you've done, Keith, have you made that association between health and fruit in a way that... that we saw actually in the picture that I showed of the Reliance store earlier today.
Pretty much, we on behalf of our clients, not we as a company, but we on behalf of our clients are the original marketeers of health as a platform of marketing food way back in 2001, 2002. Till then, nobody. I mean, now everybody, even Nestle Maggi is sold as a health platform in this country. So, you know, so we've gone very far of where the health platform is. But, yeah, everything that we do, pretty much, whether it's apples, whether it's grapes, whether it's nuts, whether it's, you know, fresh fruit, the whole story of five a day, different, how do you differentiate, you know, it's not just about health, it's about differentiating, are you eating it for the antioxidants, what are the certain benefits, what are the differences, the different thing, creating eating occasions, you know, I mean, some of the things, people, you may not realize, but sometimes when you are in a situation such as apples, where there's a lot of product sold, you have to create reasons for people to eat fruit more. So historically, we, growing up, always ate apple as after dinner cut up, the family would share. Whereas now you try to create opportunities, eat it at the gym, take it to work. So you create POP images where, you know, they're working at a workstation, there's an apple sitting there. They're going bicycling, they've got an apple there. They're coming out of a gym, they've got an apple there. So you're giving people ideas of how to consume more fruit. Because we don't, it's not been something that we've grown up. It's always fruit, typically, it's not been a snacking. It's been a post-dinner dessert. That's the history of fruit in our country.
So this idea of an apple a day keeps the doctor away, in India it really is something that's quite new for people.
Well, no. We've always known it, but you've got to realize we 30 years ago when I was growing up, we were not a wealthy nation. So an apple for one individual was not a common thing. There were very few people in this country who could afford an apple a day. Yeah. So generally an apple, one or two apples would be sliced. We were family, three brothers and parents. Mm-hmm. So one or two apples. And we were in Chandigarh, fortunate we used to get them quite easily. Yeah. But even then, I don't recall eating too many whole apples in my life. I mean, generally it was something we all sliced and shared.
But it's interesting the way in which in Europe, for example, we're being told now that, as it were, always talking about the health message is actually sometimes counterproductive. People say, I don't want to be told, get healthier, eat healthier. I want to eat something because it's tasty or it's fun or it's enjoyable or it changes my life in that way rather than it necessarily making me fitter or better or a healthier person.
It's stages of development. Too much of the same messaging can sometimes get counterproductive, exactly like you say. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a friend in Philadelphia whose wife has put him on a vegan diet and he's complaining on Facebook every single day. So one can get carried away. But that's the advantage with fruits and nuts, that in general, people have a receptiveness to them, that the taste is good, they're fun to eat. You know, generally, there's very little pushback. Unless you know, there are certain fruits that people don't like. But in general, fruits and nuts, as if you pitch them as a health category, in general, people are very receptive to it. You have two retailers there. In general, people will be receptive to eating them. You know,
As somebody who's introduced quite a few products to the Indian market over the last number of years, what are your opinions about the opportunities for avocados?
Tony. It's interesting to hear from Senthil. I mean, that he knows this as a butterfruit, and you know, personally, I had never seen an avocado in my life in India. I'd only seen it overseas, and I don't know if anybody is the first person I've heard of who has heard of an avocado. I just had somebody from his part of the country tell me that just 10 minutes ago that he brought an avocado home. And asked his wife to make a milkshake for him. She threw away all the meat and used the nut to try to create a milkshake for him. So, you know, clearly we are... Now, true story. Okay, I can... So, you know, somebody from his part of the country. So I'm really surprised that, you know, he certainly has access to fruits that others don't. But in general, avocado, the word in the country precedes the entry of the product. People know what an avocado is. Thanks to Mexican, Tex-Mex food is one of, in terms of the processed food work we do, Tex-Mex is a big import item into this country. It opens avenues for guacamole and avocado a lot. Pricing is obviously their big concern. I mean, the big issue, air freight, the way clearance procedures are going in this country, it's tall order.
To a certain extent then, Tony, I mean, a lot of the barriers to entry are not necessarily the consumer that's
exactly
the final barrier to entry. It's going to be the buyer who is going to say, well, can I afford to buy this fruit? Can I afford to stock this fruit? So how, if that is the case, how do you therefore advance things in the market?
Well, I think we're the internal optimists, but I think that for us it is about building demand, because when you can build demand, you can get scalability and look to air rather than sea and those types of things. But I think for us it's about identifying what segment of the market we'd like to be positioned in, what those consumers identify with, and then educating them in terms of the attributes of the fruit, both in terms of the health message, but also in terms of the versatility and how you combine avocados with the cuisine in India and show them how to use it and how it will add value in terms of their lifestyle and their health and well-being.
And by the sounds of it, there's a housewife in Chennai who needs a very long lesson on how to use an avocado, but I suspect there are many, many millions of people in the same situation. So it's going to be a consumer education program as well.
Well, absolutely. And I know it's not only at that end of the value chain. It's also in the middle in terms of working with retail and giving them the confidence that the product will come through consistently time after time, and working with them in terms of educating their personnel around the handling and the merchandising, training and product knowledge. So it's starting from a small base and taking small steps and just building it incrementally.
And then, gentlemen, then if it therefore boils down to you two to have the courage to invest in, as it were, product development. You've got your stores, you've got to get your turnover per square foot, and then somebody comes along and says, hey, look, I've got some avocados here, why don't you try them? You're going to be, I can see your minds thinking, I don't know whether that's going to be great for my figures at the end of this month. So how do you marry those two kind of contradictions, if you will?
I think that point Santhil also touched upon. I mean, we as retailers, we also do have some responsibilities, you know, educating our shoppers. So we are doing our bit in the sense that we are starting, you know, sampling counters, as everybody has mentioned in past few panels, that like for avocado, we are making, you know, fresh guacamole in the store and getting that try at the store. And there is advent of takes mix food in the country. That has also helped a lot in understanding this kind of cuisine. And as I was also mentioning, the TV shows also, which people are getting to know about. Also, what we are trying to do on the shop floor, we are getting people who are there from hospitality background, who understands, you know, not only avocado, but the other, ingredients or whatever to be used for our everyday food, you know, so that they can explain to our shoppers and they can do the upselling. So from the retailer parts, giving it shelf space, giving it nicely displayed, getting people on board who are expensive, you know, we are not even thinking of the profitability part initially, getting them on board and getting it sold. So we are doing our bit, but definitely we want the producers also to come forward and to help us out, getting us, you know, introduced to new technologies or new way of displaying things and doing it. So it's a joint effort, basically, the way you can take it off. And so we are doing our bit.
So when I come back to that point I made about the tipping point, you know, when it goes, that's going to be the point when somebody has the courage to say, right, I'm going to do that product. And all the competitors go and look and say, oh, they're doing that product. And they start stocking the product because they realize that they've got to compete against one another to have that product in their shelves, in their stores.
I could say a small bit here, you know, when we opened our stores in Tier 2 cities, like Trichy, Tanjore, Cuddalore, you know, for the first time in those cities, we are taking in the Australian plums, the American grapes, the Californian grapes, and the Chilean grapes. People are like wondering, you know, is this a smaller sized apple? They are looking at a plum and asking, is this a smaller sized apple, you know? That's the kind of education they had then, and it was difficult to convince them to buy a kilo of plums at 350 rupees, but what we have to do is, whenever we are opening a new store, you know, I consciously call the manager and say something, you know, now these are few products, exotics, take it grapes, plums, kiwis and things, which you have to persist for a certain amount of time for the customers to pick it up. There are definitely consumers in every city who are in the affluent side who want to try out the imported plums, imported grapes, kiwis, avocados or whatever, the newer products. But the thing is, he comes and shops on a particular Saturday. He will come the next Saturday, and when he comes on the next Saturday, the product should be still in the shelf. Just because it is not selling through the week or selling through the time, if we take it off the shelf, then the product is dead in that particular city, you know, in that particular market. So the thing is the patience and the quantities, you know. You make smaller quantities, make it keep in the shelves, and it moves.
We've got a questioner from the question from the gentleman here. Yeah.
Yes, I have one again questioning because
Mr. Chatterjee.
We have Rijkswan here, and we have Food Hall also. There is a particular type of cherry tomato that is available in Food Hall at I think 1900 rupees per kg or something. And whenever we start discussing our state government about improvement in the horticulture sector and all, they tell us that they know from Netherlands cherry tomatoes come and here people buy at 1900 rupees per kilo. But why don't you grow it here? That the farmers, growers will have increased productivity and rice one is also there the same. But then again, when you go and speak to some retailers, they tell that it is good to import than to speak with local growers here and try to see to give them space. So when there's some premium quality of fruits or vegetables, are retailers more comfortable with importing it rather than procuring it domestically because there is quality, there is reliability, there is the supply chain has been developed with other countries? Because just looking at the grapes, as Wouter mentioned, that the grape supply chain was developed towards the export, and now they're placing it in the retail. So how is it for fruits and vegetables? There's more of a tendency to work with importers because supply chain is much more reliable and accessible.
Gentlemen, who wants to
take
that?
For us, definitely. I mean, it's more of a comfort label which we grow with the importers, which is sustainability. And we get continuous supply of the products. Sometimes we are in a comfort label to dictate our terms. So there are various things which are involved in this. And especially with the local players, I can remember one of the local players near Calcutta growing dragon fruit, and we tried to put it on our shelf. It was looking absolutely similar, but taste was no way at it is there in Thailand. So we have tried a bit. It's not that it is not tried with the retailers. I don't know about the others, but for us, definitely we have tried. And the comfort label what we have developed so far with the importers for a continuous supply and a good commercial terms which is already established, and it is all about sustenance. And all retailers are tremendously under pressure on delivery in terms of per square feet sales and profit, what it is still looking distant for many of the retailers. So I think that's the comfort label what we have developed, and we want to continue for some time. But yes, I mean, if we get better options in near future, we can definitely explore.
Thank you. Question here.
Hi. We got a shop in...
Tell us who you are first.
I'm Sanjay Tropical from United Kingdom. We got a shop in Golders Green and Kingsbury. Kingsbury is an Indian area. Golders Green is a Jewish area.
These are two parts of London.
Yeah, two parts of London. But in Golders Green, there's a lot of Jewish. I'm thinking, why are they buying so much Hass avocados, and our shop in Kingsbury, we don't sell that much Hass avocados. So one day in the UK, the avocados come from all over the world. They were so much flooded, so all the customers used to come, we gave them a free avocado. Hass avocado, and now it's just picked up.
So in the Kingsbury shop, which is an Indian area.
Yeah. So it's picked up a lot. Now they all buy avocados. They cut it and slice it and put it in salad. Or they make instead of butter on the toast.
Yes.
They could put avocado, paste the avocado on it, and then
it's very nice. That
much
way.
Healthier.
Yeah. Good. Thank you. Any other comments or contributions that anybody wants to make? The lady, over here.
Well, I just want to leave the room with some perspectives, which might be different from what one of our guests just brought up. In terms of, educating the Indian consumer, there's a big amount of education that needs to go for the Indian consumer, but the main end consumer who is open to the experiential food is the younger generation who is kind of exposed in various ways, you know, in ways of lifestyle, in mm-hmm. ways of travel, in ways of, you know, living in different countries and maybe returning as NRIs from different countries, who is more open to finding, being the buyer for the imported items. Besides that, a typical lady who might be of a senior age would be very slow or not as receptive as the younger generation within the Indian community to such experiential food items. That is one perspective. The other perspective is we have a huge inflow of expats in India, which are also a big consumer base for the imported commodities. And that is another trend to be observant of. Besides that, I come from the northeast of India. And avocado or butterfruit, star fruit, kiwi, pineapple, strawberries are things which are easily available, locally produced, and of good quality. I'm no expert in that matter, but good edible quality. However, the rest of the country cannot enjoy this, primarily because, like Senthil mentioned, there's not availability of good packaging option or good transportation option that can retain the freshness and let it travel across. Even today, when we have advanced so much, it's a difficult proposition. Just to sum up, you know, we are a land of diversity, and like somebody mentioned in the morning, if you sit down to research and put standardized observations, it's going to be very difficult in this country.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us your name and where you're from?
My name is Ruchika, and I work for Maersk Line from Bombay,
okay,
but originally from Assam.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Well, as I was driving in to Pune the other day, I saw a big sign by the side of the road which said "Unity through diversity." So that's one of India's mottos. Mahmoud, you wanted to add something?
No, I think I liked your comment. Just wanted to add something to this educating the consumer, because I think it's more a form of marketing. Mm-hmm. The Indian consumer, this is over 1 billion people, so you'll be targeting a certain group that you want to sell something to this group, and I think this is the job of the retailers. Mm-hmm. For me, as a supplier coming from Egypt, I'm coming to understand the dynamic, or trying to understand the dynamics of this market and how it is. And if I go back now to the people in Egypt and tell them that the Indians think an orange is a mandarin and they make milkshakes from the nuts of the avocado, then they will probably tell me stay in India. But it's very important to learn these things. And,
of course. Other comments from anybody? Questions? Or yes, Sumit Saran, can we get the microphone to you? It's just coming now.
I just wanted to say was that foreign foods in India is not something new. And if we go back in history, a lot of food that we consider very Indian today, including when you said cha is Indian. If you look at as basic thing as tea, we've never seen Indian gods drinking tea. We've never would in history books have seen Akbar or Birbal having a cup of tea. Tea is as recent a phenomena as 1930s, 1940s. When Lipton as a company came and started sampling teas from small tea vendors across. And today, India is the largest tea drinking country in the world. Even where tea originated says tea from India. So anytime some effort is put, it will show results. I absolutely agree with her when she says education. Who do you educate? Where do you educate? And how do you educate? Are the three components. Mm-hmm. And one thing that we realized in the education pie is that as retailers, as consultants, as promoters, we tend to focus too much on women.
Too much on what, sorry?
On women.
Okay.
25 to 45 upmarket women. We leave the man out of the piece. We've seen in India on high value produce, it's the man, especially on fruits, it's the man of the house who's much more receptive. So while the woman goes there with her shopping list and she knows what she wants, and we see more and more men shopping across our retail chain, next time get your avocados to the man who's coming. and it will have better results.
Thank you. Ooh. Ah, we've got this gentleman here. I like this discussion. It's good. I might just say about changing consumer habits that I read a poll the other day. It was in an English newspaper, and it said, vote for your favorite English pastime, and there were a number of things, and one of the options was going out for a curry. So you see how consumer habits can change in a country like ours where an Indian curry is the most loved food that we have. The gentleman here.
Yeah, I'll give you perspective of why slower adoption of a new produce or imported or exotic produce.
You're the gentleman, the retailer.
I'm
remind us of your name and where you're from.
I'm from Mother Dairy again. Suffolk.
Thank you.
Suffolk.
I'm sorry, I can't remember everybody, so thank you.
The point I'm making, why slower adoption of the new produce, which are, say, imported? Reason one, the fact of the matter, the retailers, especially the fresh produce category, is bleeding. And nobody is making profit, point one. Point two, it is primarily because of the dumpage and the quality is not there. Today we saw the street vendors and the retailers, the Reliance Fresh. So therefore, it's becoming more of wastage management in the fresh produce. And when it comes to managing the new produce, say avocado or kiwi for that matter, what happens is these people, they see this is not going, let's load more margin. The moment you load more margin, so it's become prohibitively high, 40%, 50%, 60%. They know it will get into dump, new product won't get adopted. Therefore, more load, and it gets into a vicious cycle. So therefore, the imperative is the producer has to come forward to support 6 months handholding in terms of not only education, but in terms of supporting the retailer for getting shelf space, getting listed. Therefore, the adoption will be faster.
I take your point, but I have to say, I think retailers need to actually take some responsibility for this as well and start doing their work to start, you know, marketing to shoppers like all of us. And it's too easy, in a way, to point the finger at the producer all the time. I'm being controversial here, but what do you say to that?
I think I said the same thing. I mean, we are doing our bit, so now it's time for the producers also to come on board and do something. I completely go...
In what sense to come on board and do something?
See, it's about everything. It's how to display, where to display... doing some promotions, getting activities done in the store.
But that's your job.
Or making, we'll be doing everything. We are already doing everything. But we need support from the producer also. Because as he is rightly mentioning, that the retailers in India is under tremendous pressure now. So what international retailers probably has done in 30 years, we Indian retailers are trying to do that in 5 years.
But the support you're looking for is what? What does that mean when you say the support from the producer?
Suppose like a relatively new kind of a fruit like avocado, right? The way it needs to be displayed, the way we are making guacamole in the store, we are getting that tasted, right?
Oh, okay.
There should be new ideas coming up from there because it's not a regular fruit what the Indian shoppers have been using so far. We have not used avocado all these days. So now it is not only the responsibility of the retailers, it's of the producers also to market that in India and so that in next 1, 2, 3 years, we take a hop, step, jump and go to the next level. Otherwise, it will take years, maybe 5, 6, 7 years to reach up to that level.
So I'd like to add a small point here.
Please do.
When the person from Mother Dairy, when he was making the point, he was saying about the vicious cycle, which was kind of very true when, you know, typically a kiwi in India is being sold at 30 rupees, 35 rupees. And we used to sell like 15, 20 kiwis in a day per store. And we really never bothered whether a kiwi is there in the store or not in the store. But an interesting kiwi story happened a couple of years back when a couple of containers of kiwis came from Iran for the first time into India. And they were really cheap, you know. They were coming at, you know, the cost of each kiwi at, you know, my point was around 8 to 9 rupees. So, you know, we made a small internal decision. Shall we try to market kiwi instead of like an exotic fruit? Like a primary fruit, say like an apple or an orange. So one fine day we decided across all our stores, 40 stores, we started displaying kiwis in heaps, like big mountains of kiwis, and we put a price 10 rupees per piece. From 35 rupees per piece, it came down to 10 rupees per piece, and imagine what happened. It was selling 15 pieces per day. It moved straight to 300 pieces per day per store. And we were able to sell off a container in a week. You know, that's the speed at which we could sell off a container. Kiwi, suddenly from an exotic fruit, has become a primary fruit. Now there's not a single day which can pass without us having a kiwi in our outlets, you know. And it made a kiwi revolution. People from all other, the smaller retailers, the smaller guys, everybody wanted kiwis because people started tasting more kiwis. Everybody wanted to have more kiwis. So it's a perspective. Like he said, you know, never fall into the vicious cycle. Don't add margins over margins. You know, look at some vision. You know, it was not profitable to us ultimately, you know, because we're having something like a 1 rupee margin on the product. But ultimately what we achieved was, you know, we created a completely whole new market for kiwis. Now we sell not less than 100 to 150 kiwis, even if the kiwi is priced at 35 rupees.
So it has become profitable.
It has become very profitable, yeah. Very, very profitable. So now we always put kiwis in heaps in all our stores, you know. Yeah. Very, very different from the other retailers. Kiwis are always in heaps in our stores, so... Yeah.
But then that
so it's
begs...
all about the time taken, you know, what he's saying. Yeah. The time taken here is pretty long.
Yeah.
The time can be cut short if the producers also come in with their views and their way of, you know, describing the product of its health aspect, whatever it is. So it is taking a lot of time otherwise. That's my only point to make here.
But then it begs the question about who takes the hit in the first instance to get the thing moving. But perhaps we need to have a cup of tea after this conference, because I suspect we could spend another few hours discussing this here today. And sadly, time is against us. So I'm going to have to call an end to this, because we're now 15 minutes, or 30 minutes rather, past our stated end time. But I think it's been worth sitting around and listening to this, because I think it's very interesting. And I'm afraid I can't take the question, but you're welcome to ask the first question next year at the conference, if you would like to. But I'm sure you'll get a chance to ask of people in a moment. So I'm going to have to bring it to an end. Please stay in your seats, but if we could just thank our four speakers. And gentlemen, if you'd like to leave the stage, if you could just stay in your seats for a moment. Thank you, gentlemen, for your contributions.